There we go.
Okay.
All right. So, welcome everybody to the 28th of February. However, this is the Q&A for March. And Peter will be talking to you about what a Dakini is and how you can utilize Dakinis and work with Dakinis for yourself and to utilize them in your magic and to help you with your manifestation. So, if you have any questions regarding the Dakinis, then please do pop them in the chat. And I'll pop the link to Peter's latest articles, which is all about from belief to knowing how expectation can, or how you can use expectation to advance your magical practice and bring it into advanced magic. So I'll put that link in there in a moment, in just a second. So just to remind you all that in September, Peter will be facilitating in-person point holding, and that will be in Thailand. And if any of you sign up before the 31st of March, then you get to join Dragon Magic for free. Because as soon as the point holding is finished, well, not like straight away, I think we get a day off, or maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember. Peter will be facilitating. Oh,
Got snout here. Just
is
walked
that
in.
Jin?
Yep, he's only walked in.
Oh, bless him. I haven't seen Jin in a long time. Sorry, everybody. Completely put off by Jin the dog. Where was I? Yes. So Peter will be facilitating in-person Dragon Magic. And it doesn't matter whether you've done Dragon Magic before or not. You can always do with a little bit more empowerments and zhuzhing up your connection to your dragons. So as I said, if you do book before the 31st of March, you get to join that as well for free. And remember that if you want to join the point holding in person, then you must have completed part one, the self-healing aspect, first of all. And another gift for you, if you join before the 31st of March, is if you haven't done the online version before, then you get that half price. So that's an encouragement there to get that completed all before the actual in person in September. So a reminder for that, that is coming up and the early bird is available. Now, Dakinis is today's topic, but I made a boo-boo. I messed up. I'm going to be honest here. I put the wrong workshops on the website the wrong way around. So the next workshop is Nagas, which is happening on the 21st of March. And then in May, Peter will be doing the workshop to do with Dakinis. Unless you want to change it around, Peter, we could just
That's
do
fine. It's all right.
Dakinis in
That's all
March
right.
entirely up to you. All right, we'll keep it
Yeah.
as it is. So Peter is going to be talking about Nagas in the next magical membership workshop on the 21st of March. So if you're like, why? Sorry, that's my fault. I'm human. So yes, that's coming up. And then at the beginning of May, he will talk about Dakinis. So enough from me. I'm going to go on quiet and I'm going to remove my spotlight and I'm going to put Peter on so that he can talk to you all about Dakinis. Please do speak to me in the chat. Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay, so Dakinis are basically the envoys of Kali. So obviously this is more interested for those people who are into a Kali. If that's your main kind of deity, then this is right up your street, because they're the servitors of Kali who connect you to Kali's energy. It's almost like a personal Kali with you when you put a Dakini. In most traditions of the deity, you almost have a personal form of that, which is your personal servitor to help you and keep you connected and keep you on that path. So Dakinis spinning to Kali have certain powers, apart from destruction. It's that tantric energy of raising Kundalini. But also one of the main uses of Kali's energy when it comes to manifestation is the fact that it takes us beyond the illusion. Kali is the destroyer of all the illusion to bring us back to what's real, the pure spirit. And often one of the things which holds us back is that we make things too real. When we're looking at Kali, you're always rising beyond the illusion. Nothing is real but spirit, and that becomes your main focus in your life, and your spirituality becomes your highest priority. Dakinis keep you on that energy, that path of basic spirituality, pure energy, understanding that this is all illusion. Of course, when you realize it's illusion, it's easy to change. As I said before, one of the big problems people have with the manifestation is making things too real. If you make know it's a dream, you can easily change it, dream it, and the new dream manifests. When you make things real, you find it's very hard to change. They become fixed in place. And it's not either a case of actually trying to make what you're manifesting really either, because that won't fit into this illusion. Understand, you're creating new illusions to fit into this illusion. It's all a dream. If you're trying to create something real, it isn't going to fit into this illusion, so it doesn't manifest. Understand that nothing in this world is real. This is just a byproduct of our, spirituality, our creativity, our, it's like the playground. It's like the manifestation of our thoughts. It's not what's real itself. It's just the end product of manifestation. We make inner change, then this outer world changes too. So the main path of transformation with Kali has been about that inner change. get rid of all the garbage that you don't want inside, and then the garbage from the outer life disappears too. It's different focus. Some people focus on the outer life first and want to change themselves to change the outer life, but with Kali's path, you're working in spiritual purification, and the outer life is a feedback system, so it's still important. It shows you what's going on inside. If you want to know how well you're doing inside, just look at your reality around you. It's all a reflection of you. So when you know there's problems on the outside, you've still got work to do. So it becomes a different focus. You're using the outer world as a reflection of your spirituality. What the Dakinis do then is keep you in touch with spirit, touch with Kali. So you're always above the illusion. Then you can see this world as a feedback system and as a product of what's happening inside. So you work on the inner change and watch the outer world change easily because it's just illusion. So that's how the Dakini energy will work in manifestation. Obviously, not just about transformation, about manifestation, they're about the inner transformation, which is more important on this particular path anyway. Because when you're transforming yourself, this is what's real. You're becoming more of the God that you are, waking up to who you really are and your power and where you really come from and finding your true will. Those are the things that Dakinis help with first. When you have a Dakini with you, then it's like, apart from protection, destroying any negative forces which are against you, to keep you in your path, destroy the distractions, destroy everything that's putting you off, all the illusions, make you see through your own self-deception as well, help you reach beyond the kind of self-deception, the delusions, and the kind of excuses and avoidance we all get into. That's the most important part of it. This is a big thing in our magic, in all spiritual paths. The main thing that hold people back is the ego, which gives a lot of self-delusion. And lots of excuses, and lots of avoidance, and lots of reasons why they want to hang on to the past and not actually grow. It's all the excuses not to face their problems, pretend they're not there. Those are all the things that Kali drags you through. Rubs it right in your face, so you face it and transmute it. So basically, that's what the Dakini is going to help with too. When you work with the Dakinis, that's what they're going to do. They raise a Kundalini, bring up all the illusions, all that's false, and help you rise beyond it and transform it. And so doing transforming you, as well as helping you transform your reality. Discreating the problems you don't want and manifesting the things you do want. It becomes part of your whole transformation process. So you see, we don't ignore the outer world because it's illusion. It's important because it's the feedback system. It's not about spending your life on the mountaintop just meditating and ignoring the world around you, because then you're ignoring all the information that's showing you where you are. So the outer world is still important, but for a different reason. It's simply the reflection of who we are. The whole world is a reflection of you, your inner thought processes. So therefore, it's important for your transformation, for your growth. Seeing it that way is what's going to help us actually embrace it, master it, and use it. For instance, your abundance, your wealth. If you make that part of your spirituality, part of your spiritual path, it becomes far more easily to manifest it. Simply because it is now something that's more real, more meaningful. Otherwise, what do you want money for? If you know this is part of your spirituality, how you're expressing yourself in life and moving forward and learning and everything, then it becomes far more motivated on a spiritual level to actually manifest. So think of those things. Anyway, we're going to do more work on Dakinis later in our workshop. So let's go over to questions now, whether it's about Dakinis or anything else you want to know about. Okay, can't hear
Yeah, no, sorry. I couldn't unmute myself. I've got people messaging me and I've got apps popping up and whatnot, and I couldn't get to the mute button. I'm so sorry. Okay. How are Dakinis different from incubus and succubus? Is that how I say it?
Yep. Come from all different energy. Although Dakinis can be sexual beings, that is not just pure, say, low level sexuality. Because incubus and succubus basically work basically on base chakra, pure sexuality. They erase that energy to give people sexual dreams and all kinds of things that make you more sexual and virile and so on, but not particularly about transformation. Dakini is different. He raises Kundalini. It starts with sexuality, but rises to a higher level. So it becomes more tantric. Where sexuality becomes expression of spirit. It becomes about union with your higher self. Yes, it is very orgasmic. It's actually said that when your Kundalini rises fully, it has the intensity of 10,000 orgasms. But that'll kill most people if they're not prepared. So, of course, you've got to prepare the body, raise the energy much higher. You're creating a powerful link of energy, which is sexual in nature, but it's not just sexual. It's taking it all the way to the highest levels. union with your god self, union with the goddess, whichever way you see it. So it becomes tantric and sexual in nature because it's an energy of union. It's like a nuclear fusion. To see the difference in how it will work in your sexuality, for instance, if you do use the dakinis this way, they can make it more tantric. What that means is that when you actually have an alchemy with the other person, you're looking at how it changes you, transforms you, and you see the other person as different. So you feel more connected. When you fail at fusion, you end up with fission. That's the only other form of nuclear power, which is what alchemy is about, which means you end up feeling more separated instead of actually more connected. When you actually get the full fusion energy, the energy is much higher. Therefore, it's more orgasmic, more powerful. You get strengthened, energy raised, you feel more energetic, more alive. And everything works better, and you feel more connected as well. So, dakinis produce that tantric energy. It's not pure sexuality, it's for higher purpose. But also, more than that, it's about raising Kundalini. It's about enlightenment, about empowerment. Clearly, succubi and incubi don't do that, just like almost like just on a purely sexual level. And by the way, succubi and incubi are not Kali's envoys. They're usually linked with other entities, some of the demonic ones, sometimes with Lilith, sometimes there's Asmodeus, all the kind of sexual demons. They're more on that level, underworld level. Kali is actually a very high energy of purification and reaching beyond the illusion, higher level transformation stuff.
Is it possible to use dakinis on other people to raise their awareness, or if there's a block or something that they are ignoring, can dakinis be used for
Oh
that?
yes, because once they're working with you, they'll work within your healing and other people as well, because their energy is with you. It comes begins to blend with you. So your healing, everything you do becomes more powerful. Your presence becomes more transformative. Just by being present, the other person is already being lifted up and pushed to change and face themselves. And the thing is, they don't always like it, because when you start raising your vibration, all the lower stuff comes up to be dealt with, all the denials and delusions come up. So a person might not like it, but yes, it will help transform them. But be careful how you use it for that reason. It is powerful.
What is the way that you call in your dakini? Now, you might want to answer this now, or maybe you need to leave it for the workshop. And they're also asking, do you work with one or more of them?
Well, I have my personal dakinis, but I can call in many, yes, because there are a number of them. Like in they're also called yoginis in the Vedas. So you can actually look them up in the Vedic scriptures. There were 64 of the yoginis, which are the standard ones, which the Kali's first turn of manifestations. But beyond that, you have many personal ones. You can have many of them. You generally have one or maybe two, a male and a female, what we call a dukkha, as your guardians, so they become a tantric pair. And so once they're your guardians, the other ones might you use. But you can call in extra ones for extra power if you need it for big jobs. Very seldom used on one person, but if you say dealing with loads of black magic and demons and whole magic lodges attacking you, then you might have a few of them. And you can call them in, yeah. My personal dakini will come in very quickly. Only you have to like just ask it, or just use Kali's mantra, and there it is. Sometimes we have to require more mantras. If you want to invoke a new one, you have to do a whole sadhana of these mantras to actually bring them in.
Is there a difference between the Vedic empowerment that you give in the workshop that you're going to be doing? Oh, sorry. Let me read that again. Is there a difference between the Vedic empowerment you give and the workshop that you're doing?
The Agori one I give is different, because that's actually I'm actually binding the pair of Dakini and Dukkha to you, where they actually do all the work. What I'm giving in the workshop is actually empowerment to the mantra, so you can do it yourself. You'd have to do a sadhana if you want to attract a Dakini. I'm giving you the kind of technology basically to do this work yourself. When I give the Agori empowerment, it's actually I'm invoking the presence for you, so you get a good head start. Make sure it's nice and quick and powerful, and it's there.
Can dakinis be understood as principles of consciousness and awareness on different levels, in a way like kodams?
In a way, yes, they are. I mean, a kodam is a servitor, basically. It's just a different tradition. Kodams are mainly, they call them at the Islamic tradition. It simply means something serves you. It's like an agent of God, basically. So you could say that dakinis are Kali's kodams. Different language they use. They don't call them kodams there, but it's the same idea. So they are aspects of the God, basically, or rather messengers of God. In the Islamic system, you see the message of Allah, but also it's older. They will have kodams of other of the different names of Allah, which was originally jinn names in the older Arabic traditions. So you can see them as many of it are jinn. The traditional codems are often djinn. Some of them call Malakil, the high-level djinn, which are seen as angels. There are different levels of codem. So you can say that within the Kali, it's like the Dakinis are main codems. There are also other beings under Kali, which could become codems, but they can be really dangerous, such as the Leaks and the Vitalis. I'm not inviting those people because they're so dangerous. You have to be very aligned to handle them. If you come off your path a little bit and not show integrity, they can kill you. That's why I don't give tend to give those out, because I can don't find many people I could trust to stay in their full integrity through this path. But basically, yeah, the Kini is like a Kali's safer servitor, and they can be dangerous enough. Kali isn't gentle. She's destructive, transformative, and she doesn't take prisoners. She'll drag you through your growth, kicking and screaming.
So I was just about to ask. I remember back in the day when I first met you, straight after the first point holding session, or first point holding intensive, I was actually on the beach where you're holding it this year, one of my most favorite places in the world. And I was doing, after I'd done, oh gosh, Ganesh, I was doing the Kali Sadhana, and I completed it. But I, ever since then, I've never felt a connection to her. I've never felt this draw, this calling to her, this just drawing to her. Is there a reason for that? Because then I'm wondering, well, can I work with Dakinis if I don't really feel this pull towards Kali?
If you've done the sadhana, you've got some connection, but if it's not feeling a pull, it's not your main deity. You have to think of, well, what really suits you.
Right.
Galatians on the first one, because you open stores. Now you've got to feel actually, what is your path? Where you're going? I mean, what really suits you? You have to study the different deities to actually feel which one really matches you. With me, I didn't have a choice. She just came in, kept coming in when I wasn't even into Indian things back in those days. She came in when I was doing my retreat in the jungle, doing the ayahuasca and doing my dietas and so on. She came in my voodoo. When I was doing the Egyptian prayers to find my, the deity, it was Kali who came. So, after 3 times, I thought, okay, I better listen now. It's Kali. So,
That's
sometimes
true.
she just comes and takes you. She's one of that kind, If she's not,
Yeah.
it's like maybe there's another one.
Yeah. I just, because I do feel guilty that I don't have this connection. I don't feel this connection. I feel like I should and I ought to.
No, well, there's no shoulds, really. It's finding what really does suit you. See, really, all deities are one, but there's an angle which is
Yeah.
your way in. You have to find what really suits your vibration, your whole path, and where you're going.
Well, what surprises me is that I keep dreaming about voodoo, the voodoo gods lately. They keep coming in like,
Start with that.
oh.
Different traditions all relate as well, just from a different angle. I mean, it's like you may find that different deities, different traditions kind of match up with each other, the same vibration, but different expression. And
Yeah.
you're going to use what calls you at the time. Later, you find other expressions of the same thing in different traditions, and you get a bigger picture of it. But you go with what calls you.
And of course, it's going to be dragons. All
Of
right,
course, yeah.
moving
No, and
on.
by the way, Kali is seen as the original dragon mother.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Dragons aren't gentle either.
No, correct. next question then. What is the sign or signs after you use the mantras that you were successful in attracting your Dakini and that it is with you?
Well, first of all, your life can turn upside down. Things happen. It's like anything that is not aligned to your life tends to get dragged out, and it's and as your life gets aligned to where it should be, lots of things vanish because they're not right for you, and you see your life start to be rearranged, and then you find more connected in your spirituality once you've accepted the chaos, and it changes. You're more at peace because you're on your path. That's the main thing. It's life changing. You'll find your life changing when it's working. Lots of things vanishing, other things coming, and you find your path and you find your peace with it.
If we've had the Dakini empowerment from Peter, what's the best way to call it in to work with it?
Use the mantra. In the empowerment, I didn't give the Kali mantra. You simply use the Kali mantra, and it's there. Because basically, it's a message of Kali. As you do a Kali mantra, then the Kini responds because it's connected to you through Kali. It'd always be there when you're doing your sadhana and everything, because it's helping your connection to Kali.
Does Shiva have a Dakini equivalent?
It's not the Kini, it's the equivalent. We have the 64 Bhairavas, which are actually, in essence, the 64 Yoginis, the 64 Bhairavas, which is the male equivalent. So they got those as well.
And then the next question is to do with Hanuman. So it's I was gonna say slightly off topic. Can you share your knowledge about Hanuman, please, and what he can help with? How can you work with him? And anything else you might know. We do have a time limit though, Peter, so maybe not everything that you know about
You'd take a
Hanuman.
long time for that. But basically, his main function I see is as the impossible doer. He was an incarnation of Shiva, but he comes to the big jobs. He's very strong and not always clever. So there was a story when he bought the mountain. They sent him to find a herb on a certain mountain. He couldn't find herbs, so he bought the whole mountain. So he's got the power to do anything, but not always using intelligence, but using pure power. So he's strong, basically. Seems the impossible to overcoming big obstacles. Although we get generally have Ganesha as an obstacle remover because he covers all roadways and so on. Hanuman's there for extra power to actually move things, basically. He's there to move stuff. That's his main function. Now, just as the others have their own helpers, well, Hanuman just has more Hanumans. You have these particular Hanuman. They simply call Hanumans to attach them to you. It's like another kind of monkey spirit under Hanuman who's very powerful. Sometimes they're called monkey demons in different traditions, but they're basically Hanumans. They all have their own name usually when you get them. I've got some over here somewhere. Could be Hanuman behind me here, the statue. But I've got a little thingy of him somewhere. Oh, I can find him. Not that one.
He doesn't want to be found.
He doesn't, he's hiding.
Yes,
Anyways,
because
another one is called Kurashaktiwidaya, another little small Hanuman, personal spirit who came to me to protect as a protector and move up obstacles, so you can have him for that reason. Very strong protector. I've got one little thing from him who actually is used for exorcism. He was hanging over one of the main statues of Hanuman in India, one of the temples, being blessed there. So when I use that, it can exorcise people of demons very quickly. So, he does that kind of thing. He'll move. It does exorcisms, move obstacles, so just move heavy things that you're hard to move on your own. So it's good for actually getting things moving, using more force.
and I have felt that personally. Can you see the Dakinis though? Like, will they come in your dreams or in third eye during meditation ever? Is it possible to do Shiva envoys in the future also?
Yes, both. I mean, yes, they can. They're not always visual, I said, because Kali's beyond all this illusion. She doesn't really give that much attention to visuals, but more to feeling and that sense of raising consciousness and feeling connected and everything. But they can come in dreams if they want to. They don't always show themselves in form, but they will speak to you. You can hear the whispers. They're there almost speaking to you and whispering in your ear and things while they're actually visual. But they can come in visuals. Not always that clear. When they've come to me, it's almost like I saw this strange big statue of it talking to me rather than actual, more like living form. It's like a statue is speaking. That's how it appeared to me. But yeah, they come into your dreams. And yes, the bioverse, I can might do all those at one point. I haven't actually created empowerments to give those, but that's possible. I do have like a Shiva empowerment section as well, all the different Shiva empowerments, and I can probably add something to that to evoke some bioverse too.
If things get turned upside down, we can still manifest what we want as long as we expect it. Is that correct?
Yep. Trick with this though, you can actually create more than you can expect. This is what miracle's about. So expectation alone becomes a limitation. You've got beings who have no trouble expecting anything because they're miraculous. And you find that actually almost overrides some of your expectation. You get even more than you expected. So that you can look forward to that when you work with these deities.
You were talking about Shiva envoys. Could you please spell them so that people can look them up?
By rivers, okay, where are we? Oh, where's the chat thing gone?
Did you want to just spell it out and I write it in?
Okay, Bhairava. Bye, brother.
Thank you so much. And now, someone would like to know about Allah. Could you please share what you know about Allah? Is Allah a deity or a god or a demiurge? People say Allah is above all other gods. Is this so?
In a way, but it's very meaning. You see, it comes from L, which is all that is. And the worth that La is all that is not. So that covers everything as well as everything that isn't there. So you can't really get more than that. But this is simply trying to actually express that kind of one greater principle of everything, which every god is a part of. So if you look at it, yes, that's what it means. But whether people are connecting with that in their religion is another thing. This is an interesting one because I've actually spoken to some of the Amils, and we've got very high level through the Javanese magic because it's very Islamic there. about the simple prayer when it says, "I bear witness that there's this one God," and you say most of them are lying because I haven't experienced that oneness with God. There's a particular encounter we call the Ma'rifat Tula, the direct expression, the direct knowledge of God or of Allah. Found it exactly the same as Isis and Baal, exactly the same as the divine pearl of Shiva. You simply feel this blazing white light, which just makes you burn all over, and even beyond Kundalini. It's just that's the highest, connection. And so I found that Allah was also Isis, it was also Shiva. It's all one. It's beyond form. Isis unveiled meant beyond form. She's not veiled anymore. She's not in form. She's pure energy. So whatever God you're looking at, it is really the same. They're all the highest, because all this one pure power, which is creates everything and everything that is and everything that is not, potential of everything that's isn't yet created. So that's what Allah means. When you look at the other deities, they have many names. Well, Allah has many names too. When you look at them, there's the 99 beautiful names of Allah, but there's actually many more than that, which are not considered the main 99. As the kind of Emils will tell you, Allah's infinite, so we can have infinite names. Everything is Allah because He's everything and everything that is not. So there are no limits there. So when you look at the other gods, they're Allah too. There's Allah's many names, which expresses different aspects. As I was saying, all deities are showing that particular window to the infinite potential. So all the names of gods are the names of Allah. Everything is one. Doesn't mean you've got to be a Muslim, though. See, quite often people get caught in the religion with all these different rigid rules and on the politics coming in. And this is why a lot of people don't want to go there. But actually, yes, Allah is pure creator.
Dakinis, back to onto Dakinis, are seen as etheric witches. How can we use them in our magic beside mantra work? Do you suggest offerings?
You can, but at the same time, when you work with Kali, Dakinis will be similar. You offer the same things: flowers, fruit, yogurt, milk, incense. She likes rose or sandalwood, so the same thing you see with the Kali suit the Dakinis because they are like agents of Kali. So you can have an extra place on the Kali altar for a Dakini. You give them their own little statues, for instance, and actually do the same offerings.
I'd love to know why less moderate Christians feel so threatened by lesser gods and regard other forms of worship, including nature worship, as dark and negative.
It's the way that those religions have always worked. It just wasn't the Christians. The Jews did it first. There would be some of the early Semites would be vicious in the way they conquered other lands, and the first thing they would do would ridicule their gods. They'd then take over your religion, take over completely by taking away your religion, making you follow their religion. That's how they took over. So Christianity did the same thing. All the gods of other religions became their devils. If you look at demonology, many of those names of the devils are simply names of old gods of other systems, including other Jewish gods, like Baal. They're seen as a demon. That's one of the Jewish gods. It's like there are many of the Canaanite gods there. It's like what happened to that one particular tribe followed Jehovah, killed all the rest, and took over. So their god was the one god. So that's how they worked. This is the one god. If he disagrees, gets killed because you want to take over. It's just pure kind of animal. Taking over, they're part of the whole testosterone thing, going to conquer and take over and be the one in charge. Nothing divine about that at all. So Christianity is the same thing. Ours is the God. They're following the same old Jewish principle. We got Jehovah. They now changed the name, maybe. They're called God. But interesting, the name God came from Goda, the North Sea Goat, because they actually took over many of the pagan traditions and tried to give them new meaning because they couldn't get rid of it totally. So what do they even mean by God? So they're following a North Sea goat, which is now they've elected Jehovah as the conquering god who killed everybody else. And they're saying same thing. Follow our God, the rest are all evil, all devils. We'll persecute you if you follow something other than our God. It's that pure kind of control mechanism going on. There's nothing divine about that whatsoever. If you really look at it, taking the name Jehovah was actually a form of creation, the Yod Heh Vav Heh. They were the four letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which represented the hand of God, the window through which you see things now of desire, which feel fixes together, and the final window where you see it. It's all showing a form of creation, basically. It's showing this is creation. It wasn't even a name originally. The name God's after it. And there was other parts of that name, such as Baal Jehovah, Baal Yod Heh Vav Heh. And it's like, they got rid of the other gods and just said, this is our God. But actually, it was a form of creation. Therefore, its meaning was same as Allah anyway. Now they're arguing that we will kill you if you follow that one rather than this one, but they're the same. just under slightly different language. Different webs describing the same thing. You know, this the all of this one in Arabic is Allah. In Hebrew, there was Yadevave or Yahweh, as they shortened it to, or the Jehovah. That's a word changed gradually. So they're coming from the same point, but then this kind of politics come in where they conquer everybody who disagrees with them and take over and make them follow their way, and therefore even killing them for saying a different name of their god from a different language from their own. So that's how stupid it gets. Really, they're the same. Well, the inner form is the same. The outer form, which is now a form of egregore, is very violent and it takes you totally away from the truth of what God is, basically.
Thank you. Next question is, excuse me, whilst we're off the topic of tachinis, I'll stay off the topic of tachinis and then we'll move back on. When something, okay, now they're testing my pronunciation. When something like marifatullah happens to you,
Marifatullah,
yeah, how long are you in that state? I mean, do you have to take a few weeks off work to adjust back to or to regular reality so that people don't think that you've gone nuts?
That depends where you if you're prepared. I mean, with me, it's like I was more spiritually anyway. I've known some other people to happen. It's happened too suddenly when they weren't even fully on their path. So they were lucky and had a sudden awakening, or maybe they weren't so lucky and they were kind of didn't know what to do with it. They're saying, "I'm God," and they described the experience of Marifatullah, but I had to get used to actually what this is. They suddenly thought they were God and they're special. Ego takes over, and people thought they're mad. And so it took them a while to settle into that. With me, it's just okay, it happened, great experience. Leave it till my next day would meditate again and feel it again. And it was just a part of my path in that case. So it can last as long as you want it to at the time. You have an awakening. What you do with it up in between is up to you. But you can meditate and be experience it every day. What usually happens is that you find every time you close your eyes, there's this tiny point of light. When you start focusing it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until everything just blazes with light. And that's what the experience is. That
But
little
going back,
point, that little point's always there, but when you focus on it, it grows. So you have the level of control.
are dakinis related to yakshinis?
No. Yakshinis are more linked to the earth and to Kubera about wealth. They represent the treasures from the earth, all the gems and all the jewels in there, and so on.
I have an off-topic question. While I think about it, because I've been meaning to ask you this for ages. So, as you know, I'm in the Peruvian tobacco dieta, and I also have here the Thai-grown tobacco. Is it going to be an issue if I mix them?
No, this tobacco.
Okay. Thank you. I've been meaning to ask you that for ages, and I keep forgetting. So it came into my head. So I thought, right, I'm going to ask. Okay, moving on to another off-topic question. Menopause, are these hot flushes Chandali energy?
No, that's hormonal change. Menopause isn't that. You can see the relationship because obviously the sexual energy is changing because you're changing fertility to. Let go of that and do other things. It's natural change, and the reason it happens is because estrogen can actually be carcinogenic. You don't want to keep producing it all your life. There's a point where the body says, "I have enough now. I no longer need to reproduce. Let's stop that," so it can actually work on other things rather than having children. So there is a transformation with it. So it's possible that there can be some level of kind of new awakening, but that's not where the heat is. That's just hormone changes. Changing your body temperature. Because it's like as hormones change, the regulation temperature and various things change with it. It's just adjusting.
Which mantras would be given on the, oh no, we can't give that away. Someone's asking what mantras you're going to give out on the Dakini workshop. Will you have to come to the Dakini workshop to figure out?
Also quite a long mantra. It's longer than the Kali one, so I won't give it now.
It's in the handout.
There's all 64 of the Yogini mantras in it as well.
Was the persecution or infiltration of ancient beliefs and the limiting of organized religions, especially Abrahamic, deliberate to try to destroy the real power and magic of other spiritualities?
Obviously, because it's like it's very known that the Vatican stores most of the occult knowledge. In Italy, magicians will join the church just to get hold of the occult knowledge. So a lot of them actually entering there will be black magicians because they store all the knowledge there. So when they've been around the world in the past destroying libraries and everything, so they destroyed or they kept it. They kept it in the Vatican because they wanted the magic, make sure they could control. Nobody else has the power. That gives them power over everything. So yeah, they've stored it away.
I was curious if the Tantra course you offer includes a certain set of empowerments, and some of them are from Master Winaso, I think. He has a new course specifically for building the light body and enlightenment called Shakti Vajra Path, and I was curious if this was included, and if not, if you will be learning this from him and offering it in the future.
I don't know, we'll see. Got a strange relationship with him, Harvey, these days. Because he's had trouble with his wife in hospital, and I send him donations when he keeps sending me stuff, and it's like I just get sent most of the stuff anyway. It's not necessarily all useful these days because he's gone very new agey and is changing how things are. Might be useful, but it's like I'm finding my way of working these things anyway. I prefer the real traditional stuff. So I'm not using that on my tantric course at the moment. What that consists of is all the elements of the different Mahavidyas. Plus, he's got the whole set of empowerments of Metaram and then of which didn't come from him, by the way, and of course the Ishnavajra. So all that came from Harvey, but then apart from the Metaram, which is I got from other sources, actually a much higher level, and these are actually for clearing the Kundalini channels and raising that channel up to a much higher level. We receive higher and higher levels of divine energy. So it's a very powerful system I've added apart from Harvey's to actually make a more complete system. So it really has the tools to actually awaken your Kundalini, your higher tantric powers, your higher chakras to the highest possible level. Some of the other ones are kind of more beginner level, you see, so I'm not really mixing those in. I consider the actual tantric work to be quite advanced because Mahavidyas generally in yoga, they wouldn't teach that until you've done at least 15 years of Siddhi yoga. So it's quite advanced stuff anyway. So not really mixing with beginner level stuff. My tantric empowerment course is a pretty advanced level.
I think that is all of the questions for now. That is, it is indeed. Even I don't have any other questions. Oh, hang on,
Well,
no, there we go.
okay.
Creepy. Wow. I speak to you every other day. The next question. Does the light body get built automatically when you after you clear the 72,000 meridians and 80,000 and raise the Kundalini?
It will be all time anyway. Many things are not a light body. Basically, everything you do spiritually is increasing your light body. It's basically your aura, and it's a higher body you're building as you add spiritual energy. So everything is building it. The Chandali, all the kind of different mantras, the sadhanas, they're all building it.
So something that I am putting in the chat now, I've just put Peter's handle to Instagram and to, I think it's the same on YouTube, and he is now on TikTok. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because every month now, Peter will be giving a live transmission or a prediction for the upcoming month's energy. Do you want to share a little bit about what you're predicting and what you'll be sharing every month, Peter?
Yeah, it's just a general reading of energy for the month and the best thing to do with it. Like, for instance, this month, what I mentioned is something
Don't tell them,
about.
they've got to
No,
watch
okay. Oh,
got
hey,
to watch
watch it. So, a couple of minutes. But yeah, I did a
the
little reading for the month and said, okay, this is the best thing to work with to actually get best results. Simple.
Yeah.
Nothing too complicated.
No, absolutely. But if you want to watch Peter's transmissions and his little channelings every month, then you can either follow him on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, or on TikTok. He's now on TikTok. So please do look him up, Azir Shamanism, and that would be great. Can you share those by email? Of course, absolutely, they'll be coming out by email because, I mean, Peter's on TikTok. Go, Peter. I think that's incredible. So yes, those will come out. So I just wanted you all to know that so you can watch his little face talk to you every month. And I think that's it. Oh, what else we've got coming in? Did you hear about Regular Star Alliance with Sphinx Gaze in 2026 and some kind of event connected to it? Can you tell us something about it?
It's happened every year for since the beginning of Egypt, basically, which is a lot longer than people think. You see, the important event in Egypt was actually the rising of the Nile, which actually coincides with the rising of Sirius, interesting enough. So naturally, there's an actual rising every day, as with the tides and everything. And the Nile would flood just as Sirius rises. But also in August, at a time where actually what they call the Lion's Gate is when basically the sun enters Leo, is when when Sirius first appears visible over the horizon at sunset. That's an important time. That's when the Nile really flood to make all the lands around fertile. So it's very important for the actual fertility and life of the whole area, basically. So Sirius and the Nile linked to the opening of the Lion's Gate as Sun and as Leo rule align. That's the start of the Egyptian calendar. This has always been an important time. So, same thing happens in the year. As Sun and as Leo, Sirius rises, the Nile floods, life is renewed. So, it's a very special time in Egypt. And that affects everywhere because Egypt was one of the biggest starting points for the magic, which then spread around the world, became part of every other culture. Like the Javanese magic originated in Egypt. What happened when Egypt was invaded? The magicians there had a vision and tried to get out and had this vision of these islands to go to. They went to Java, then to Hawaii, which in their language was Hawaii, meaning Little Java. So you can see that these same magic has spread and taken a different language mostly. Interesting enough that the magical language is the same, the secret language is the same. So you can see there's a connection there. So the basic magic there still exists everywhere. That this, what happens in Egypt at that time, is linked to what's happening in the world. The Nile seems to have an important say in our magic. The rising of Sirius is an important part of it. So named to Leo is the lion energy. All these things aligning seem to actually be a doorway. That's what that's about. So how you use that, there's always potential there. That's time to actually welcome an energy of Sirius, which is the goddess energy. Best time to invoke it, play with it, meditate with it, do your magic with it, everything. There's many potentials apart from what's been told commonly. It's the gateway of power, basically. Of course, you got power all the time, but that's an extra doorway where it's a bit easier, so it's worth using. Okay.
Yep, sorry, I was on mute.
Yep.
website question. I'd love courses that weren't. Ow, Stefan, you're one step ahead of me. I'm super busy. I know. Come on, just give me a chance. Website question. A lot of courses that weren't online before were added to the new website. Yes, they were. If we bought a course that wasn't online before, can we send you the receipt that we can add it to our account so we
Yes.
can access it online as well? Before you go saying yes, Peter, please let me clarify. There are old versions of some courses and there
Sorry, yeah.
are upgraded versions of some courses. Stefan, if you can prove to me that you have the upgraded version of some of these courses, I will very happily add that your name or add that course to your account. If you still have the old version of that course, then there is a way that you can get the new upgraded one, and that's by paying a very small supplement, which I am still yet to email you all about because I just haven't got around to doing that yet. So I'm really busy getting lots of other exciting things out to you, like Peter's monthly, Peter's predictions.
Also to add though that as we upgraded the course, we put them onto teachable, so it makes it easier. If you got the unteachable, it would have already been upgraded. If it wasn't,
Yes.
then it wasn't, so it's easy.
No, that's not strictly true. That is not strict. See, you don't ask Peter these types of questions. You ask me these questions. That is not strictly true, Peter. No, because not all upgrades were unteachable. So,
I know what happened every time we upgraded the course, we actually added it to teachable. We
no,
actually
that's
taught
not true.
it.
No, that's not how it worked. Everyone, you asked me. Okay, going back to Sirius, is this why we use the Sirian triangle to create and discreate?
Yes, because that's the energy of the goddess, which is taking upon the illusion. We beckon that creative point where you're creating reality. When you
Wonderful.
go looking at the Egyptian temples, you have these Syrian triangles carved all over the place amongst the hieroglyphs. Very important.
All right then, everyone. So just another reminder then that the next Q&A will be on, I do believe it's the 4th of April. 4th of April, and that Q&A is going to be all about the underworld, which is linked to Nagas because the Nagas is the next workshop on the 21st of March. Quite a few questions coming in today about the workshop. So, just a reminder that if you are a member, all of the workshops are inclusive in your monthly membership fee. If you would like to join the membership, then you can. But if you just want to join one workshop, then you can also do that, and then you'll be able to purchase those online. So, very, very shortly, I'll be making the Nagas and the Dakinis workshop available for everyone to purchase. So do bear with me, and an email will go out when they are available. But if you remember, you don't need to take any action because you're already invited. And don't forget, early bird will finish on the 31st of March if you'd like to come and join us in Thailand in one of the most magical places on earth, one of my most favorite places to ever be. And that is the beach of Hat Kong in Klapanyang. Thank you, Peter and Carrie. Very helpful, including the way you two chat. Oh, yeah, which is, oh, well, more news to come, Sarah, about other exciting projects. Not only do we have the monthly Peter predictions, But we've got lots of other things coming out as well that you might be very, very excited to
Oh,
hear
and
about.
there's
So,
asking questions on there as well.
oh yes, ask Peter anything. Oh yes, well done. So also something else that we're doing on social media is ask Peter anything. So if you want Peter to answer your question on social media, then all you need to do is message in and then I'll get it on. Ask Peter anything. Are the predictions going on YouTube? Yes, Stefan, they are. So please do subscribe to his YouTube channel. Join him on TikTok, join him on Instagram, join him on Facebook, wherever you like. I'm getting Peter out there as much as I can. And that's why I haven't emailed you, Stefan, about the bloody courses, because I'm trying to do everything else as well. All right, then, my friends. When is the first prediction? It's coming out next week because it's always going to be at the beginning of the month. So he's going to predict for the month ahead. So he'll tell you what the energies are doing, and he's going to tell you what you can do practically in order to get the most out of the energies for your growth and your success. And to confirm again with what Stefan was saying, just to, in case there was any confusion there, if you have an upgraded version of one of the courses that were not on Teachable, now how would you know it's an upgraded version of the course? Because it's going to be on branded PDF. It's going to be on the Peter Aziz with the green border. That's how you know it's an upgraded version. Then email me, and then I will be able to get that added to your library. No problem at all. If you still have the old Word document that Peter used to type on with no branded documents, then you've got the old version, and you will be emailed very, very soon to invite you for the upgrade if you would like to have it and put it on your library. So I hope that clears up any confusion that there might have been. Peter, is there anything else that you would like to say to your audience in advance of the oncoming month or anything else that you've got coming up?
No, it's all there. I'll let you find it on social media. I'll just give too much away.
Yeah, absolutely. All right then, my friend. So next Q&A, 4th of April. Thank you so much. We'll speak to you then. Have a wonderful, wonderful time in between now and then. You know where to find us in MeWe if you need us. Thank you so much. Take
Okay, see you all soon.
care.
Bye.
Gayatri, I'll message you on MeWe, my friend, or an email. Thank you.